Like what you hear? Tell your friends. Thanks for listening to HRNradio.com.
Welcome, everyone. This is Lionel Ketchian with Dr. Bernie Siegel. Good to be with you, Bernie.
Thank you, Lionel.
Yeah. So I guess we are each other's guests today, correct?
I have questions for you.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I plan on getting them all right, because as long as I could score the test, I should do all right.
All right, because one of the things, you know, I have a new book out called No Endings, Only Beginnings.
Right.
And it's interesting, the publisher sent me a letter, or an email yesterday, saying that the people in Korea want to print the book, but they really don't understand the title. They want it more clarified. Why, you know, what is No Endings, Only Beginnings? So what is your impression? And then I'll tell you mine about life. But how would you feel about that title?
Yeah, well, you know, to leave it to someone to figure out what you mean by it may be different than what they may understand.
Yeah.
You see?
But how does it strike you? What does it mean to you?
Well, you know, because I know you, and you've talked about commencement, graduation.
Mm-hmm.
I understand, you know, what you're saying in that title. I mean, I fully understand the meaning you have behind it. But I don't know that somebody else who doesn't know you would put
right.
that together.
Yeah, well, they wanted me to write something to introduce it and get them to understand. And I thought, like you just used the word commencement, because that was something that I used to talk about a lot.
Yeah.
Why is a graduation called a commencement? You're finishing school, and they tell you it's a commencement.
Yeah.
And why don't they say, why don't you come to my termination? You know? And it's for people to understand that. You know, life is a series of beginnings.
True.
And it's full of labor pain. You know, of birthing yourself. One lady, I thought it was a beautiful poem she wrote. You know, it's just like survival behavior. But she compared a pregnancy and delivery to her chemotherapy and radiation. And that really would fit, you know, in a sense with the title of the book, because the poem went on, 9 months seems like a long time. I watch my body change. Tired, I sit staring out at life. I live within my mind. Books and music transport me beyond my body. 9 months finally passed. I give birth to my child. All the discomfort and pain is now justified. How beautiful.
Yeah. Yes.
And then she's getting chemotherapy and radiation. And she ended up writing the same poem with a simple change. 12 months seems like a long time. I watch my body change. You know, tired, I sit staring out at life. And the whole poem is the same, except it ends in, 12 months finally pass, I give birth to myself. All the discomfort and pain now justified. And I think that that's really, in a sense, what life is about. You end who you are and begin a new life. And many times I always say the curse becomes a blessing.
Yeah.
You know, the
yeah.
labor pains that lead you to something, and then you're thankful that it happened.
Well, you know, Bernie, what you're talking about, as you were saying this, and I'm listening to you, it reminds me, you know, on Happy You, we talk a lot about forgiveness. And
right.
As you know, forgiveness is such a central part of living and going through life and loving and being, you know, being a person that loves to learn to forgive. But as you were talking about a new beginning, I thought that, you know, I've never heard the words a new beginning when it came to forgiveness, and that might be a really beautiful way to explain to somebody that, look, forgiveness is an opportunity for you to end something and create a new beginning for yourself.
Yes. Yeah, you rebirth yourself.
You rebirth yourself, and that's a different way to show people how forgiveness works for you. Well, how it could lead to happiness, but how it could close the door of one life and open a whole new life for you. You see?
You know, you're making me think I can write a new book now, because all the stories that are popping into my head, two things. One was when I was robbed. I mean, I say us. My wife and I were in a hotel. Somebody entered our room when we had dinner, and with a key. So I know it was what I call an inside job. You know, somebody in the hotel had to give somebody in their family a key and say,
right,
okay, go ahead. And so he stole valuable items. And the other was a man I lent $10,000 to about 2 or 3 years ago when he wrote me a letter about trying to save his business. And if you can lend me $10,000, I'll pay you back in 45 days. And, yeah, I received that right around Christmas time. So it's, you know, I think exactly now 3 years ago. And he hasn't paid me back a penny. And what bothers me even more is he doesn't say I'm sorry. You know, he doesn't become my friend and talk to me and apologize. He just hides. But again, I realize if I don't let go of these guys, what are they doing to me?
Right.
And my life? Because the thing I really got a kick out of, I don't know if you heard me say this before, was, and both these things happen around holiday time. The robbery was around right after Thanksgiving, and I told the police I saw this strange man in the hallway. You know, they drew a picture, but they never, I don't think they ever really looked. Because I said he had to belong to somebody in the hotel. It's got to be some family member and somebody who had to look in our room and clean our room. I mean,
yeah.
How's anybody going to know to pick our room? You know what I mean? If I were a detective, I would have worked it out and found the guy. But they never did. But then came Christmas time, and this crazy thought came into my head. I thought of him, and then I thought, wow, what if he used the things that he stole from us to get some money and to buy a gift for his children? And then I had a smile on my face. I was so happy that his kid had a lovely Christmas. And, you know, you talk about your happiness club. What a simple change that was in my head and freed me from being bitter and resentful.
Yeah, but Bernie, what you did was you changed the meaning of the situation and then you freed yourself of it.
Right. And that's why I think, like, the title of the book, No Endings, Only Beginnings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you don't have to end up in bitterness and resentment. You can begin. And the same thing, I have forgiven and forgotten, in a sense, about this guy. If I ever hear from him, it would be wonderful that I lent the money to. But I don't give a damn anymore, you know. Because I always remember my father saying, because his father died leaving a big family. His father died, I'm sure you've heard him say this, of tuberculosis. So he had no insurance, nothing, and left six kids and a wife with nothing. And I listened to stories the family used to tell about what a horrible time they had just surviving. And then my father, who became a big executive with the American Broadcasting Company, was interviewed once, and I was listening to the interview. And I heard him say, one of the best things that ever happened to me was my father dying when I was 12 years old. I thought, what the hell are you talking about? I heard all these horror stories. And he came home that night, and I said, how could you say that? He said, it was because it taught me what was important about life.
Right.
And he was one of the sweetest, gentlest men that really I have ever known. He was always helping others because of what he'd been through, that they shouldn't have to go through the same thing. And it made my mother nervous, but, you know, that they'd be okay if he didn't stop giving things away. But that was his nature. And he never punished, never yelled. You know, his power was that peace and that love of others. You know, when I think about it now, I keep thinking of all the spiritual leaders of the world, that their power was love and forgiveness. You know, coming out of concentration camps.
Yeah, that's power.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, who was it that, I can't remember, there's so many books, but he said that if I don't forgive the people who put me in the concentration camp, I'm still in the concentration camp.
I think that, wasn't that, what's his name, South Africa, Nelson Mandela said that about his prison.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Yeah,
if you don't forgive them, then just...
I remember that Nelson Mandela was number 19 on a list where you were number 20 of the 100 famous people and spiritual people in the world.
That high on the list.
You were. You were number 20 in Nelson
Mandela. Spiritual leaders.
Yes, that were alive.
At that time, yeah.
That were alive, yeah.
Yeah, I guess with the popular book that I had,
yeah,
it was touching a lot of lives. And it's such a gift to know that you've helped other people. That's why I don't stop reading, books, including I've started reading the complete Bible. I read it once many years ago, and...
How did it end?
Getting through it, you know, all the people in it and all the instructions from God, I would have gone nuts if I were, you know, Moses or Abraham or something. I would say, God, would you calm down a minute? I don't even have time to write down a list of all the things you're telling me. You know, don't eat this, don't do that, and how you treat your children and everything else. Who marries who and God knows. But it again, to me, it's the principle of it, you know, of trying to be a kind, good person. Yeah, because when I think about it, reading something last night about all the ways certain animals kill and not kill and how to do it, because I remember somebody saying even the kosher laws, it's a less painful way of killing animals, because blood is something God says you're not supposed to eat or drink. So the animals are bled out, but that helps them, in a sense, die less painfully than if they were just chopped up. And I know, you know, it doesn't make me thrilled that you have to kill, but I always admire, and I mean this, vegetarians, when they say, I'm a vegetarian because of animal life. And basically, that's what I do. I can't say that I don't occasionally have some meat from a creature, but I sure don't have big meals full of meat multiple times a day. I just love life. Want to help everything live.
Yeah, well, we were created to eat, so I get by with that understanding that even though I do truly love animals, I had so many pets as a kid living in New York as well. It was just insane. But I still ate meat, but I loved animals. so I had those two things that aren't exactly, meaning of the mind. But
the more you have of animals, the more you realize how clever they are.
True.
And almost how human they are.
And it didn't matter what the animal, whether it was a turtle, a fish, a cat, a mouse, it didn't really matter. Well,
everybody
were incredible.
Had in our house or yard had a first name. So, you know, it's like the turtle could be Jack. You know, I mean, everybody had a name, including, you know, if you had a mouse, whatever it was, you knew it by its name. And
yeah.
I was just going to say something that just happened. Our son has a pond on his property, one of them. And the parents, two geese, took off and left two eggs. And so he incubated it and hatched them because he's always saving lives. That's one of the reasons our house was like a zoo. You know, we had ducks and geese and goats and everything breeding and running all over the place. But these, you'd be amazed, these two geese are like two kittens or dogs. I mean, they hang out with them. You know what I mean?
Wow.
It's like they know who their parents are. And yeah, that's something you've heard me say. We used to hatch them around our house and in incubators in the house. And all the bird creatures thought our kids were their parents.
Yep. They were going to school with them.
Yeah, they try to get on school bus and go with the kids. And you realize, you know, there's that almost human part to them, the relationship part. And they're so grateful for people. If we could use animals as our role model, it's a hell of a lot.
You know what? You brought up earlier about eating meat, being a vegetarian, and I said, well, I'm not a vegetarian. But having said that, I would also say I'm not a vegetarian with this added point to what I'm about to say, and that is that I think kindness is the most important thing in the world. Now, yes, I eat meat. I'm not killing the animal myself, but yes, I'm responsible. You know, but what good is a vegetarian who's inhumane to their fellow man?
Right.
Yeah. You know, kindness is so important.
Yeah, and I'll bet there are probably more who are kind to animals and not to people.
True. Yeah. Hey, I have a title for your, was it Korean book? I have a title for you. I don't know if you'll
like it. Well, it's the same book, but they want it explained.
All right, well, here's another one. The end may not be up to me, but the beginning is.
Yep.
I mean, we're always responsible for a beginning, and we can make a new beginning anytime we want.
Yes, you can rebirth yourself. And yeah. This is why I really mean it when I say no endings, only beginnings, because mm-hmm. I've had experiences with past lives. You know, what I was going to say is the only thing that ends is the physical.
Right.
In other words, our bodies die.
Right.
But our consciousness doesn't. So it mm-hmm. goes back to the source. And I think that's why people say they went back to the light, you go back to that source of energy and creation and become a part of it again and become a part of someone who's born after you've died. They pick up your conscience. And you know, the person who wrote a book was his kid at age 4. That's when I had my near-death experience, but I never talked about it because I didn't know it was a unique experience. I mean, it's crazy, but I was 4 years old, so it happened. I thought, oh, everybody knows about this.
Right.
You know, but this kid at age 4 almost dies. When he didn't, the stories he told his parents, he had no way of knowing. And one of the things is this, that before he was born, his mother gave birth to a girl who died. Now, he can't know that. He's born like a couple of years after she dies.
Mm-hmm.
But he tells his father, because when his father said to him, oh, you're crazy, you know, there's no place you go to and all this. But the kid kept talking to him and telling him things, and he brought up, oh, and I met my sister.
Yeah, right.
And then the father's like, what? How could he know that?
Right.
You know? And so the father ended up writing the book, Heaven is for Real, because of what the kid told him. And that's why I say there are no endings in terms of our consciousness, our experience. But, yes, there are endings in terms of the death of a body and things that we have to separate from to, you know, and live through that kind of chain. You might say we're recycled, in a sense, parts of us. And if we appreciate that, we know that those things happen. And then you have a different outlook at life. And the other is just accepting all the difficulties as part of the chain, the transformation. So you have your own peace. You know, there are extremes. I was just thinking, if you're out on the street with no clothes and no food, you don't say, oh, this is wonderful. Let's see what it does for me. That's when we need to step forward and help each other. So they don't die lying on the street, but they have a new beginning. You offer them something and, you know, and learn from each other.
Perfect.
Human.
Well, talking about new beginnings, we're going to go to a break and we'll have a new beginning in just a moment.
HRNradio.com, where positive people and podcasts unite.
All right. We are back, and we're having discussions about endings and new beginnings.
Right. Change.
Change.
You know, I was just saying to you, looking through my computer, people sending out, you know, newsletters, change, the essence of life. And you know, one of the things that helped me understand was reading a book people, the next voice you hear is God talking to everybody on the planet. I know it was written a few decades ago, a lovely little novel. Because imagine if every television, every radio, computers, everything came up with the same message in every language at the same moment. And people thought, you know, and it was God saying, this is God. And everybody thought, oh, this is a joke. I mean, and God. But then they thought, it's in every language all over the planet. Who else could do this but God, you know? So then everybody listened. And God said, a perfect world is not creation. It's a magic trick. You're here to live and learn. And that really helped me, you know, to say, now I understand why God made a world, especially as a doctor. You know, when you see these people with all these congenital defects and, you know, inherited stuff and diseases, and it's like, well, or even our pandemic now, why did God make all this stuff? But if the world were perfect, we'd be having the same crazy problems, you know, with what do I do with myself? There's no meaning to my life. Nobody needs me. Everybody's fine. But when you have to experience change, then you start to look at life. As I say, you know, like I recited, the labor pains go through the change, that they really bring you into a new life. And change is inevitable, so get used to that fact.
Yeah.
But what you turn it into, and one of the things I was thinking, I keep playing the lottery, you probably heard me say that. And it's one thing I know is why I play it versus people who want to be rich. That in a study, 95% of people who won a big lottery said it was the worst thing to happen to me 5 years after they had won. And people said, why is it? Well, all the arguments, the family problems, you know, everybody wants some money if you won the money. And so they ended up with less happiness with the money than they had before. And what I'd like to do, the reason I want to win is, because my wife died just about 3 years ago, January, so it's very close now, I'd like to start a fund in her name. Her name is Barbara, but called her Bobby. I'd like to start the Bobby Fund and help people all over the world.
Yeah.
You know, in her name. And I just thought, what a wonderful way of using the money, you know, making her life a gift to everybody else. Because she was that kind of a person, always helping. And, you know, I've told you my Hold On story.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
that was lunch when Bobby packed
it. No, it was about a sandwich I was supposed
that's
to hold
a great,
on. But
that's a great story.
It was a very difficult day, and I thought it was her insight that I was going to have a tough day, so she wrote me a note that said, hold on. You know, but she was always in there with that sense of humor, and it makes such a difference in your life to know somebody cares about you, because I'm still thanking her every day for being a gift in my life. And it also, when love is involved, time doesn't exist. It's hard for me to believe, because I just said it was 3 years ago,
right,
that it's like it wasn't last week, because she still feels, you know, like she's here communicating with me.
Well, you know why though? That's because you just said it. You said every time you think of her, you're grateful, and then love appears, because gratitude shows you what love you had to begin with, and you're more in touch with it. It appreciates from that.
Yeah, and you know, now that I sent you No Endings, Only Beginnings, because that was one of the things, even before she died, one of my patients turned out to be a mystic who communicated with the dead. And she started bringing me messages from patients to me. And I knew who she was talking about. You know, she had a name. But she said, there's a message for you. And I've learned you're not a normal doctor, so would you like to hear it? She didn't want to upset me or intrude, but I said, sure, what is it? And then when she would tell me, it's like, wow. I know, and I'd call people's families, and they'd say, oh, my, you know, and they would feel good, too, not get upset, to get a message. And so, you know, he brought me a message where my wife died and everything else. My wife has communicated with me, too. So I know that that's why, again, no endings, only beginning. My wife is a different, you know, creation now than she was, but no longer has skin on. But I know her essence is still out there. And so a lot of the things that I used to think were crazy, you know, some of these programs on television, you know, you're going into a house and there are ghosts there. It's like, yeah, sure. Well, now I agree with that. There are, I don't call them ghosts, but spirits who are still hanging around and, you know, leaving you messages and communicating with you. And we have to learn to open up and accept all of this. And it's still, I have to say, you know, yeah, it's painful when somebody you love is gone. I mean, I had a feeling in my body that I've never had before when I found my wife dead in bed. You know, I thought she was still sleeping, so I went to wake her up. But I felt a wave of grief go through my body that was incredible. How I felt it literally go through the physical parts of every organ in my body. Like they were all joining me in suffering over the loss. It wasn't just my brain, you know, being sad. And that's why, to me, life is a mystery. And we need to keep our minds open to the mystery, to also enjoy it.
That's true. It is a mystery. And the other mystery is that we're at another break. So when we come back, I've got another title for that book that you've written.
Oh, and remind me, there are eight. We have 8-minute segments. I want to talk about the number 8.
Okay, we'll do that.
Timeless information for your self-care and health. HRNradio.com.
All right, we are back, making note of the time so I can keep up with everyone. And another title could be, From the Beginning, There Is No End. As soon as there was a beginning, there was no end. So that's hard to understand, but... or a book called No End. That would say it all.
Yeah. I mean, if people kept diaries, you know, from the first day, like Adam and Eve, we'd have all these books. You know, you can say that's about the Bible. I mean, it to me, impossible to understand how people could remember all the things that are written about in the Bible. You know, all the hundreds of names and events and things. And but, you know, I don't argue with it. The message is there. I try to learn from it. And the same even with things like dreams. I read Jung, too, and his interpretation of dreams. And it's really amazing how people who don't understand certain symbols, you know, will have a dream, and then they go to get help from a therapist, and they explain to them what the dream is really about. And again, it's that conscious how it comes up with these universal symbols. You know, the 8 minutes. Jung, this is a sentence from him, he said, numbers represent quantity and meaning. I don't remember how many years ago I read that, but I thought, that's an interesting statement. And I began to look into, when people would do drawings, you know, why do you have a clock that's, you know, at 5:30, the hands at 5 and a 6? And every time I would say, and Elizabeth Kubler said to me, why is 11 important? Because I drew 11 trees. And I immediately had an answer for her. My brain didn't stop and say, what are you talking about? What difference does it make? But the number immediately meant something. And we mentioned, again, back to 8, was that 8 represents a new beginning. And I remember reading, it was very interesting, that every religion has 7 days in its week, but different numbers of days in their month.
Oh.
They, and how many days does it take God to create the universe? Seven. So seven is like a number of completeness, a cycle, let's say. And on the eighth day, you begin a new cycle. And again, those simple things that we don't all know if you don't read about them and study and learn. But the more you do, the more you begin to understand work and life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I always have to, there was one reporter who came to interview me and was just, you know, I'm the controversial doctor and it's ridiculous and she didn't want to interview me. And I asked her to draw a picture because she had come to my office. I said, I have one more patient. Draw me a picture while I'm seeing the patient, then we'll talk. And the picture she handed me showed a large head on the person she drew, which is herself. And that fit my diagnosis. But over her head was a clock with one hand pointed at six. I said, I thought, I got to shake her up, change it into. So instead of saying, why is six important to you, and she could have made up any story, I said, what happened when you were 6 years old? Why are you asking? Because there's only one hand on the clock pointed at six.
Mm-hmm.
Then she broke down because she had been abused at age six. And then I thought, now we'll have a different issue. But that's the part. You know, all that stuff is stored up in us. Our consciousness, and again, it gets back to that it doesn't end. It keeps going.
It doesn't end.
Yeah, if it's the things that hurt us, then we need to end it by dealing with it.
Exactly. Exactly. Bernie,
get therapy, forgive, do something.
Yeah, yeah. Bernie, I'm sitting here, and you reminded me, and I almost completely forgot. So the book I wrote in 1988 that you endorsed, called Food for Thought, 1988, 32 years ago. So here's how the book begins. It says, I dedicate this book to you, the reader. I am confident it will uplift you to your journey's end. Then you turn the page and it says, the end. It came sooner than you thought. To start at the beginning, turn to the back of this book. And then you do, and then it just says, which way is up? You hold the answer in the palm of your hand, and then it says the beginning in the back of the book, and then you start reading it from the back. So the point of that was, as much as you're talking about your book, about beginnings and endings, that's how I started that book I wrote 32 years ago, about endings and beginnings. So, you know, you and I are on the same wavelength with that.
We have the same disease.
Yeah, but I mean, I wrote my book backwards, which is, and I felt like, I felt if people manipulated the book in their hand, they had to turn it upside down and everything, they would maybe start reading the book because people, you know, don't always jump into a book, you know, feet first and jump into it and start enjoying it. They, you know, people, there were readers and then there were non-readers. I was trying to appeal to
people with closed minds.
Yeah.
You know, so if they read a book, they just say no, you know, and shut it out.
Exactly.
But I that's why I always say, if you listen to people tell stories,
right,
then they're talking about something that happened to them.
And you can't argue that.
Deny it. Yeah.
Argue it.
Yeah. They may be unique, but at least it happened. Mm-hmm. My feeling then is, if it happened to them, there's no reason it can't happen to me.
Or learn something from what they experience.
Yeah, because I'm, you know, in their species, so it can happen. I mean, I've had dreams that have been therapeutic for me in terms of telling me when I had an illness, whether it was cancer or not, whether I became a doctor, because I want to realize it's the patients who die, not me. You know, I was looking to see, am I doing things for healthy or unhealthy reasons? And I was always amazed at the dreams I would have that let me know. In one dream, I was a passenger in a car and it went off the cliff. So I knew, hey, we're all going to die. And the people in the car are all screaming and yelling, and they look at me and they say, how come you're not screaming and yelling? We're going to die. And I said, you know, it's like not the worst outcome. So, and what was the, oh, yeah, the cancer one. I was sitting in a cancer support group. This is in a dream. And I just said, which I always did with people, introduce yourselves and why you're here. When it came my turn to speak up, they all said, yeah, but you don't have cancer. You know, and I knew that the symptoms I was having had nothing to do with cancer. And I really woke up knowing you don't have to run to the doctor, because my partners, you know, as the surgeon in practice, were worried about me because I told them I had this symptom. And so they said, you got to go see your doctor. You got to go get a check. And I knew I'll go get it checked because it's not a normal, you know, symptom. But it was nothing to do with cancer, just an infection.
Oh, well, that's good. Well, with that, we're going to take another quick break, and we'll be right back.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Okay, we're back with Dr. Bernie Siegel, and it's always a very quick 1 hour with Dr. Siegel, and but Bernie, we were talking about endings, beginnings, and here we are getting to the end of the program, talk about endings. But there are no real endings, are there?
No. No, it's, yeah, that's why. It's a never-ending cycle of mm-hmm. life, and what you hope is we all become more loving and more family-like, you know, and care for each other. What a wonderful place the planet would be. Because when the COVID thing struck and, you know, stay home. And I thought maybe it's teaching us a lesson. We're all home. We live on the same planet.
I agree with you.
And if we don't treat each other as neighbors and care for each other, we're all going to lose our home.
You know, Bernie, I agree with you. And I had a thought this morning that was very interesting to me, and I'm sort of reckoning it out. And I'm saying to myself, you know how we could go on our computer or even our smartphone and order takeout or something, or toilet paper or whatever we need from Amazon, right, and have it delivered right to our door without stepping outside, right? And I'm thinking, that's a rather new thing with Amazon. That's, I don't know how old it is, but it's been around not too long. And isn't it interesting that COVID happened this year when we had all of these services become available to us to bring everything we ever needed right to our door, and also to have doctor's appointments, you know, from our home. So it's almost like it's fascinating that the and I know you, I know what you're going to say when I use the word, what a coincidence. I mean, there are no coincidences, so is this all planned out ahead of time?
Yeah, there are no coincidences. I always hear Elizabeth Kubler-Ross with her Swiss accent saying to me all the time, Bernie, there are no coincidences. And then I came across again another sentence from Jung. The future is unconsciously prepared long in advance and therefore can be guessed by clairvoyance. So basically, he was saying if you go to a fortune teller, they're reading you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not that they know something. It's them reading you. And that's why my mystic friend, it's the same way. I mean, she will tell me these, you know, spirits, in a sense, people who were dead get in touch with her to give her messages. But she knows their name often. Or she'll tell me something about them so I know immediately who it is. And there's no way she would ever be able to know those things unless she was told it by this, you know, spirit who's talking to her. I mean, one that really struck me was after my wife died, she called to say a lovely lady who was an opera singer during her lifetime got in touch with her to say that Bobby's fine. He's back with the family and everybody, you know, with her and okay. And there's no way that Monica could have known, my mother-in-law was an opera singer.
Right.
You know? So people could say, oh, well, she saw, you know, learned your wife is dead and then made up a story, blah, blah, but the things that she would come up with, because sometimes family members would shriek when I'd say, if you want a message, I'll give it to you, but I'm not calling you to upset you, you know, if you want to hear from your husband's side. And I always remember one woman who shrieked, and I said, I don't want to upset you. And she just said, you're not. That's exactly what he would say when we'd leave your meeting.
Wow.
An expression that Monica gave me. Mm-hmm. Well, the words were, if I'd known it was this easy, I'd have bought the package a long time ago and not have resisted so much. And she said, that's what he's always saying. I can't buy the package. Now, you know, when things like that happen, I can't deny it. You know, I would get into arguments with doctors when I would say things at medical conferences. They'd say, what study have you done? You know, where did you read that?
Right.
That's a poor journal. That's not, you know, no research has been. I mean, they couldn't deal with what I was saying. So they had to prove that I was wrong or telling lies or something. You know, then something would happen to them, because that's the part I always remember, that when, well, one doctor, yeah, he wrote a book and apologized to me in the book. And it was called Healing Less. He was a doctor down at Sloan Kettering. And it was about his wife getting cancer and then him writing the experience. And in the book, he says, I want to apologize to Dr. Bernie Siegel. And he had sent me a copy of the book. And I thought, you know, he's doing all the things I talked about, so he sent it to me. And then, boom, I'm apologizing. I called him up. I said, what are you apologizing for? You've never been a problem to me. He said, I was apologizing for what I thought of you.
Wow.
See? Now he's living the experience with his wife, and I'm a helper. When it wasn't an experience, he was just living in his head and not believing all the things I was talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
And I would say to people, keep your heart open and keep your mind open. So if you experience things, believe them. I don't try to explain everything. Yeah, that was interesting too. See? No endings, only beginnings. But in Solzhenitsyn's book, Cancer Ward, he uses a term you'd never hear from a doctor. Do you have a patient come in who's supposed to be dead and they're well? You'd say, oh, you had a spontaneous remission. Now, that's a pretty stupid response. Why don't you say to the patient, what the hell did you do? You know?
Sure.
And in Solzhenitsyn's book, he uses that term, self-induced healing. Because the men are in the hospital, you know, cancer ward. And one of them says, I found this book. It says here there are cases of self-induced healing. And what blew my mind also was, I know Solzhenitsyn had cancer, so he's coming from a place of experience and not just belief. But it was a rainbow-colored butterfly. And when you think of my book, No Endings, Only Beginnings, I say that's the thing for everybody who's listened to this program to take home with them. A rainbow-colored butterfly. What is it symbolically? The rainbow is order. Every color is where it belongs. So get your life in order. How do you do that? That's what the butterfly teaches us. It's in a cocoon. It bursts it open, spreads its wings, and comes out.
Beautiful.
And
what
so
a great
if
way.
You want to make the changes, be born again, then bust out of your cocoon and become what you want to become.
I love it. What a great way to end this program. And I think that the butterfly analogy is perfect because it shows that the caterpillar never needed to be afraid, and it turned into something so much more beautiful and free.
And there are no coincidences. So follow your heart and you'll meet people and things will happen. I always remember two things when we would going lecturing and got lost. I pulled down a dead-end street. In front of me was a car that said, "I'm lost," on the license plate. And so I ran over to them, and they gave me direction. And the other time, I stopped this guy, and I said, "You got to help me. I can't find this street." He said, "I have no idea where it is, but I know where the police station is." So he sent me to the police station, and that was on the street that I was looking for.
That's funny.
And that's why I say there are no coincidences.
Yeah, exactly. Barney, I love us. It was beautiful and wonderful to be with you. Thanks so much for your wisdom and love.
You're a gift to me, Lionel. Let me thank you now. I mean it. It's a pleasure to have known you and to keep knowing you. So thank you.
Well, there's no endings, right? No endings.
Right.
Okay. Well, thanks, everyone. Thank you for being with us.